This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. In Pakistan, Asiya Bibi freed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Asiya Bibi has been acquitted and she is free to go. She's been acquitted of all charges of blasphemy. This is a groundbreaking judgment, actually, considering the fact how controversial blasphemy laws are here in Pakistan.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There's a lot of celebration amongst human rights activists and very liberal Pakistanis in the country, considering the fact that she's been on death row for around 8 years. The incident occurred back in 2009, so it's been almost a decade that this has been ongoing.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, we do have breaking news. I broke it last night on Facebook about 1 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, and that is the Supreme Court of Pakistan has ruled in favor of Asiya Bibi and has reversed her conviction and allowed her to go free. This is a huge development, and I will tell you, a very bold move by the Pakistan Supreme Court. I say that because a lot of clerics within Pakistan, not all, but a lot, were engaged in a campaign to have her, the death penalty, executed on Asiya Bibi. Now, remember, if you don't know the history of the case, the case first came to light in 2011 on our reports. Back in 2011, we posted the first article about her incarceration. And then on our first radio broadcast, and I don't know if we have the sound on that, but this is October of 2014 when we broke the story on radio.
We've got a troubling development that we wanted to bring to your attention. It's not getting the international news that it deserves, and that is the first Christian woman to be sentenced to death under Pakistan's blasphemy law had her appeal rejected by the High Court in Lahore, Pakistan, on Thursday of last week. Asiya Bibi is the name she goes by, but it's actually Asiya Noreen, received the death penalty in 2010 after she allegedly made a derogatory comment about the Prophet Muhammad. She was first arrested in the summer of 2009, has spent 5 years in prison. She is the mother of five and is now sentenced to death by hanging.
So we began an international outcry, and I'll go through some of that when we come back from the break. But, Jordan, we made this. We worked on this to make this a national story,
international story. Taking it to the United Nations, taking it to all of those different institutions, making sure we continuously updated people here in the United States. Going back to 2011 in our ACLJ members, and as the ACLJ grew, more and more people learned through our Be Heard project that was ultimately launched. Asiya Bibi was part of that. This was a very long process, 9 years since the charges were filed against her, since she was in prison. 9 years with a death sentence hanging over her head. I thought it was interesting to note that the news when she was told, because she didn't attend the Supreme Court hearing on this, when she was told by the AFP about the fact that they had found her not guilty and acquitted her, she said, quote, "I can't believe what I'm hearing. Will I go out now? Will they let me out, really?" I mean, this is kind of the seriousness. Yeah. She was ready for this to last her whole life.
Yeah. Now, Than, we first went to Congress on this March 11, 2015. I'm holding in my hand my testimony before the United States Senate Committee on Appropriations, Subcommittee on State Foreign Operations and Related Programs, we first raised.
Yeah, this case is a great example, Jay, of how you have to engage all the different levers that are available to us. I mean, and ultimately, your testimony before Congress resulted in S. Resolution 109 by Senator Rand Paul calling for her release. Jay, also other leverage points inside the United States. You remember, you know, the $300 million of military aid that President Trump put on hold, not just over this, but certainly this was one of the factors. Jay, I really do think the biggest key in this was the international outcry that was raised. You know, we made multiple interventions at the United Nations. Jay, more than five of them this year alone. It really put the international attention on this case. It kept Pakistan from dealing with it in private. And Jay, ultimately, I really believe that's why Asiya now has her freedom.
Well, she does. And this was, I want to thank all of our ACLJ members, 821,000 of you. So 821,590 signed this petition over the last, I think it's been up for about 4 years. And I want to thank our radio and TV teams and our social media teams and our members for keeping the diligence necessary to secure the freedom. We'll talk about what we did at the UN. We'll talk about what's next. We'll talk about one of our lawyers who represents our interests in Pakistan when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Sentenced to death, 9 years in prison, Christian woman, Asiya Bibi, freed by the Pakistan Supreme Court. Last night, I went live on Facebook about 1 o'clock in the morning East Coast time to break the news. We got the news. Shahriyar Gill is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. He also oversees our office, which you may not know we had, in Lahore, Pakistan. We do have one. Shahriyar, let's go through some of the facts of the case before we get into the particulars of the ruling. Let's go through the facts of what this case was about.
Right. So the case started in 2009 when Asiya Bibi was working at a farm and she was picking berries. She got some water for herself in a cup, and she offered this water in the same cup to two of her Muslim co-workers, who then told her that she was unclean and they would not drink water in the same cup, and then asked her to convert to Islam, and then they would be able to drink water in the same cup. And Asiya basically refused to convert to Islam and affirmed her faith in Jesus Christ. And there was an argument over that, and 5 days later, a Muslim cleric from the same village files a case against Asiya Bibi after they had brought her before a mob of Muslims, beat her up, and made her to confess the crime of blasphemy, basically.
And then she was ultimately sentenced to death by hanging.
She was. After a year later, she was sentenced to death after a long trial of full of errors and sentenced to death. And the high court, which is the first level court of appeals, upheld her conviction.
How bold is this Supreme Court decision of Pakistan releasing her, reversing the conviction and releasing her?
Well, that can be seen just by looking at after a few minutes of announcing the decision. I got a call around 12:30 at night, and a few minutes later, there was news that there were tires burning in the Capitol. There were protesters, mobs had already gathered. And so that shows the significance and boldness of the justices who have written this decision.
And people have actually lost their lives, Jordan, over this. I mean,
that's
the governor
right.
of the province.
Salman Taseer, the governor of the province, a well-known Pakistani politician and leader, was gunned down by his own bodyguard, who ended up being executed by the government for that crime, found guilty of murder for that crime. And, you know, it's interesting, again, in the opinion which I go to, it's just because we don't get a lot of opinions like this favorably out of a system based in Islamic law, that the statements, I'm quoting the opinion here, this is on page 53, the statements made by the two women who made the allegations before the trial court revealed that the alleged blasphemy had been committed by the Christian appellant after her Muslim co-workers had insulted the appellant's religion and had injured her religious sensibilities only because she believed it was a follower of Jesus Christ. From that perspective, insulting the appellant's religion by her Muslim co-workers was no less blasphemous. Now, blasphemy laws should be off the books entirely, but this court was unique, Shahryar, in utilizing Islamic law, I believe, to kind of throw it back in the faces of these extremist mullahs in Pakistan who are trying to cause this uproar in the streets, cause the violence in the streets, not just against Christians, but against any Pakistanis who support this decision, the government specifically, they're these justices, and say our own Islamic law, go to it. And it says what these people did was wrong, and it was close to blasphemy itself.
Yeah, so that Shahryar, that was, I thought that was very significant in the opinion.
I agree. That's very significant. And if you look at the page 615, the court actually mentions the mob violence, and it says it is not for the individuals or a gathering mob to decide as to whether any act falling within the purview of blasphemy has been committed or not. And then the court said, but at the same time, false allegations regarding commission of such an offense is equally detestable beside being culpable.
So, Harry, what was your read? I mean, I was, you know, Shahryar sent the opinion last night. I read it. And it starts with Islamic jurisprudence to justify the holding that she was not guilty. And as Shahryar just said, the whole aspect of a false statement accusing someone of blasphemy is equally culpability. And then there's more of a what I would call an English common law approach to the rest of the opinion.
You're absolutely correct. So what we have is a full integration, if you will, of Islamic law and English common law. So it is clear from Islamic law that blasphemy violates Islamic law. Equally clear, false charges of blasphemy are detestable under Islamic law, and the facts clearly do not support the charge of blasphemy against Asiya Bibi. Quite the contrary, it's her co-workers that arguably engaged in blasphemy against her religion. And so I think the Supreme Court of Pakistan got it right, and it concurred in the decision to reverse the conviction. And I think this sends a message to everyone in Pakistan, one that is sorely needed, that false charges of blasphemy will not be tolerated under Pakistani law. And I think that's a helpful development for all Christians in blasphemy. All Christians in Pakistan going forward.
Yeah, I raised this issue, Than, we talked about this, at the Senate, the Subcommittee on Appropriations. So let me play first this statement I made. This is number six.
Asiya Bibi is a Christian mother of five. She remains on death row for offering water to a Muslim co-worker of hers. After advocating for reform, the governor of the area was assassinated and killed.
So this is, don't forget this portion, that someone was assassinated and killed because of this, Shahryar. I mean, people have lost their lives over this.
Governor was actually helping Asiya Bibi, and he was preparing a petition for clemency for her when he had called blasphemy laws the black laws, and his own security guard shot him 21 times over that statement, and just because he was supporting Asiya Bibi.
And also, Shahryar, a number of judges in this case, including the High Court, it would get to this stage, and then they would start resigning. Actually, some resigned their seats rather than hear this case and be responsible for the outcome.
That's correct. If you remember, one of the hearings at the Supreme Court actually was postponed because one of the judges recused himself, and because he said he was involved in a prior case of the governor's assassination case. Even though legally it had no bearing on this case, he still had to recuse himself because they didn't want to touch it.
So it took these brave. I mean, I think it's fair to say when you know it's fair. You have to be really acknowledged. It took very brave judges on the high court here,
absolutely,
the Supreme Court of Pakistan, to take this stand publicly. Put their names are on it. And so you really have to be in prayer for not just Asiya Bibi and her safety, but the safety of these judges, because they can't trust, as we pointed out, their own security.
Right.
In these kind of situations. A volatile, very volatile, this increases, makes it a very volatile time in Pakistan, and a place that can match, you know, it can light very quickly, and it has. I think to underscore, the violence that's broken out was immediate, as Shahriar said.
I'm holding in my hands documents that we submitted to the United Nations for our television audience watching on social media. These are documents that we submitted to the United Nations. We've got several of those. We sent a letter to the ambassador of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We testified before Capitol Hill, before the Senate. So, Than, when I look at the efforts here, it literally was a global effort.
Yeah, sustained over almost a decade, Jay. I mean, 5 submissions before the United Nations in 2018 alone, at least 10 over the last several years, and as well as the testimony that you played before the United States Senate. But, Jay, again, the theme that you made and that we made in each of those venues each and every time is really the one that Jordan was just making, is that the reason that blasphemy law strikes such fear in the hearts of Pakistanis is because often they do stick without facts. I mean, you heard Shahriar going through the fact pattern of this case, and I'm sure our listeners thought, well, this is ridiculous. There's no way those charges will stick. But, Jay, we have seen this time and time again. They do stick, and that is why the international attention on the case was so critical, so that Pakistan couldn't just deal with this in private.
Yep.
And I would just underscore what you just said a moment ago about the courage that it took for the Supreme Court to put the names on this ruling. Jay, I am really hopeful that this ruling will set a precedent in some of these cases that we work on going forward,
yep,
that when these blasphemy charges come forward, they have to be supported by facts. That's what we've seen in the past. Even when they're not supported, sometimes they stick. I hope this case changes that.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to play for you a testimony that our lawyers from the European Center for Law and Justice gave on Asiya Bibi's case. Again, it was a global outcry here, and your ACLJ, ECLJ, our offices in Pakistan, New York, France, all engaged on this. And that's why your support of the ACLJ and our affiliated organization allows us to do this work all over the world. And we are just very, very grateful that in a matter of 2 weeks, we've seen the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson and now the release of Asiya Bibi. And that's it. I mean, it's been 2 great weeks in that regard. Very, very positive. We come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. There's a couple of you all holding there. Hang on. We'll get to you in a moment. But we do have a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Last day of the month, ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. As I said, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 when we come back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Big victory. Asiya Bibi freed, found not guilty. Decision reversed. What's the actual process now, Shahriyar, that goes on in her release?
Normally, when a decision like this happens, a prisoner is basically released in normal circumstances from the prison. The family comes, picks them up, and that's what happens. I don't think that's what's going to happen here. The government, because of the security issues involved here, the threats against her are real. I don't think she will be safe anywhere unless the government protects her. So the government is going to have to provide her significant security and lay out a plan how to actually get her out of prison and to a safer location and ultimately to a foreign country.
You expect her not to stay in Pakistan?
I don't think she will. There's no way that she will be safe in Pakistan.
Yeah, so I mean it's a national issue. I mean it's a big issue.
Yeah, we have calls about this about what happens next for Asiya Bibi. David in Indiana online too. And David, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, David.
Hi, guys. Really appreciate all the work you're doing.
Thanks.
You do great work. My question was what Zahar was talking about, and I don't see that she could possibly be safe, her or her family in Pakistan. So what in the world can they do to get them out of there?
Well, they can get her. I mean, I think some of her family, if I'm not, I think I'm correct on this, Shahriyar, isn't some of her family already out of Pakistan?
Yes, they are. A couple of weeks ago, her family, one daughter and her husband, had given an interview in England. So they were in England about
and
a couple of weeks ago.
And that's the likely place. The English have been very outspoken on this. The parliament has there. And the BBC has given it a lot of coverage as well. So I think that's probably the likely place that they go. And I think that would make absolute sense. So that's part of what happens.
Yeah, I think important in these situations, especially so, like we talked about the Brunson situation, but in Asiya Bibi's situation as well, it is not over until she is out of Pakistan. And that means that it will be Pakistani security officials working likely with other government officials.
Could be like happening right
British,
now.
That they need to make this happen very quickly because it's a volatile situation in the streets, much more so than even in Turkey with Andrew Brunson's situation. She's well known in Pakistan. This was a story reported on by extremists. They utilized this.
Yeah, we saw that on Twitter. That's for
on
sure.
Social media, but they are taking to the streets as well. So it's become real. So understanding these situations, a great opinion, a great decision. And then I hope that, a week from now, kind of she emerges in another country, safe and sound.
Harry, what do you think the message from the past? This was a very bold, I'm going to say this again, this was a very bold move on the justices of the Pakistan Supreme Court. Very, very bold. There was a lot of reason that they could have politically decided not to just have done nothing, but they took a very bold move. What do you think the message is to the rest of the world from the Pakistan Supreme Court?
Well, I think the message from the Pakistani Supreme Court is that the rule of law will and shall prevail going forward in Pakistan.
Pakistan's an ally of the United States.
Yes, and so I think this is a helpful development in terms of strengthening U.S.-Pakistani relations going forward. But lastly, I would point out we should pray for all Christians who remain in Pakistan because of the behavior, at least the past behavior, of unruly mobs who have been unleashed to take out vengeance, if you will, against the Christian community in Pakistan.
No, absolutely correct. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yep, Shay is calling in from Florida on line one. Shay, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Shay.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm just upset because of the fact that it always seems to take money to get somebody free from another country. I mean, we're stopping $300 million, thanks to Trump, to get this lady free. I mean, it got their attention. And now she's gone free. And I respect their culture, don't get me wrong. But they need to respect ours, too, here in America. You know, we have people here in America that don't want Muslims, because they're
different. Well, I mean, no, but we're a country that believes in religious freedom, and we don't condemn people because of what their religion is. We condemn people if their acts that they take in the name of religion are wrong, sure. But we don't do that, and that's any group. But we don't say we don't want Muslims in the United States. We're different than that. Pakistan is an Islamic country. I mean, it is. They're an ally of the United States. And
nuclear power.
The nuclear power. And then let's talk about how that interplay of the government and worked here when you're dealing with an out. She's not an American citizen. It went through a court system, took almost a decade, which is a great result, but she's lost 9 years of her life and in prison in Pakistan. But let's talk about the political side of what it was and how it was handled. It was, I think, appropriately done.
Yeah, I think appropriately so. I mean, keep in mind, just as we started this, Jay, Pakistan is one of the most significant allies of the United States in the world, to the tune of $22 billion over the last decade, about $2 billion a year. Now, here's where the shift in foreign policy under the Trump administration really has paid off, though. The Trump administration has said, look, we want to be partners with you. We want to engage in security partnerships, but we are going to be really serious about making sure that you follow through on your obligations. Jay, in both fiscal year 2017 and fiscal year 2018, there has been a dramatic drawdown on that financial aid that has gone to Pakistan because Pakistan hasn't cooperated in several regards, not just the Asia Bibi case, but also the combating terrorism, combating militants. But again, Jay, it's an important alliance for the United States, one that we need. But you know what? It's even more important for Pakistan. So when President Trump and Secretary Pompeo have gone to them and said, look, you will start delivering results, otherwise you're going to see a drawdown in U.S. aid to Pakistan. The difference between that and previous administrations is when Pakistan didn't meet its obligations, the United States did withhold the funding.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, let's go to Jerry, called in from Rhode Island on line three. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi,
you're
Jerry.
On the air.
Hey, Jerry.
How you doing?
Good.
Great Thanksgiving news for not only Brunson and this one. And I think Jordan and Professor were telling us we need to pray for ongoing, not only the flocks that were being there. We already heard about the safety of her family, hopefully. But the judges and the lawyers involved in here, I guess we need to play for this. And the last caller, it's not just the money. It's the prayers involved, the petitions involved. They work together, carrot and stick.
Absolutely. So, Shahriar, let's talk about these judges. This was a bold move for them and a bold move for the government. We don't really understand it that way. We look at the Supreme Court makes a decision. If you don't like it, that's the way it is. If you like it, that's good. But, you know, we don't have this kind of activity. But there's a whole different moment. This was a very bold move on their part.
That's absolutely correct. It's a very bold move. I mean, the way they have written the opinion and especially the concurring opinion. I mean, Justice Khosa, he's very, very smart, and his opinions are, they are full of wisdom. And on page 55, he says that it is ironical that in the Arabic language, the appellant's name, Asiya, means sinful. But in the circumstances of the present case, she appears to be a person, in the words of Shakespeare's King Lear, more sinned against than sinning. So that kind of puts a stamp, so to speak, of boldness of this opinion toward the end of the whole judgment. So I think they just went all out. They said mob violence is not acceptable, false allegations are not acceptable. And people who make false allegations are themselves blasphemers.
Jerry, in 20 seconds here, explain to people, we have an office in Pakistan.
Yes, we have an office in Pakistan, Lahore, and we have a team of attorneys and other staff members who actually work on very similar cases. We have a couple of blasphemy cases that we're working on currently. We have cases that involve church property being taken by Muslims, and murders, rape cases. So we're doing a lot of work there that needs a lot of prayers.
Yep. All right, we'll be back with more. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go on over to Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org. And don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at ACLJ.org. And you see the impact that's having here in the United States, but around the globe. ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Asia Bibi has been acquitted and she is free to go. She's been acquitted of all charges of blasphemy. This is a groundbreaking judgment, actually, considering the fact how controversial blasphemy laws are here in Pakistan.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, really big news, and that is Asia Bibi's conviction is reversed by the Pakistani Supreme Court. She is freed. Our family, most of her, a number of her family are already in England. I suspect that's where she'll be going as well. This was a major, major decision. But I wanted to tell you that the American Center for Law and Justice was involved in this matter, and the first time we raised the issue was in 2011. She was in jail at that point, and we published our first piece on it. And then on October of 2014, I want to play a flashback for you, on this very broadcast, before most people were even talking about this case, here's what we said.
We've got a troubling development that we wanted to bring to your attention. It's not getting the international news that it deserves, and that is the first Christian woman to be sentenced to death under Pakistan's blasphemy law had her appeal rejected by the High Court in Lahore, Pakistan, on Thursday of last week. Asia Bibi is the name she goes by, but it's actually Asia Noreen, received the death penalty in 2010 after she allegedly made a derogatory comment about the Prophet Muhammad. She was first arrested in the summer of 2009, has spent 5 years in prison. She is the mother of five and is now sentenced to death by hanging.
Now, we just got word in from Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Here's what she's had to say when she got news of the release.
The news out of Pakistan of the release of Asia Bibi, I think, will be very welcome to her family and to all of those who have campaigned in Pakistan and indeed around the world for her release.
And I think, again, that just underscores that international attention on this case for a Pakistani Christian woman. And in Pakistan,
we've never met and never will meet.
No. And again, and many people who have signed those petitions, who have spoken out at the international levels, the ambassadors, representatives, will never meet as well. This was a fruit picker. You know, in Pakistan, this was not a pastor. This was not a leader in the Christian community. In an interesting turn of events, a lot of when Pakistan and India divided, a lot of Christians said, you know, it's going to be better for us living in a majority Muslim country than in a Hindu country with a caste system. So they went into Pakistan. And over time, the radicalization of Pakistan and Islam there has turned it to be a very different situation for Christians, who though share are typically treated at kind of the lowest levels. And you saw that in this case, still justice for someone, because the world kept fighting for one of the weakest people, the least of these, if you will, in Asia Bibi, someone who would not have the resources, would not have the name recognition, didn't have a home country, wasn't a citizen somewhere else backing her up, but had to rely on internally Pakistan and externally world pressure.
And Shahriar, again, explain to the people the boldness that it took of these justices of the Pakistani Supreme Court to come to this decision.
Right. I mean, this opinion is just bold in the sense that the justices' own lives were at stake. Mm. Not just the defendant or the appellant here, Asia Bibi here, but the justices who decided the case. There have been protests going on. I have recently received a call from our team that went to the court. They are actually stuck on the highway from Islamabad to Lahore because the highway is shut down.
Yeah.
And the entire country, the protests are going on.
And Than, when you were working at the UN, and I know Gregor and Christophe in our offices in France, the sense was that we were building, we know this was a long process, but we were clearly building international support. That's why I'm glad we already have Theresa May's comment.
Jay, I think that sound from Theresa May highlights what we've been saying, that really the 800,000 people that signed our petition and the ability then to put international attention on this case, Jay, I really do believe that that's the only reason Asia Bibi is out. Look, we don't always go public with these cases, but this is a great reminder of why when we bring these cases to people, it's because attention on the cases is critically needed. And frankly, at that point, Jay, it's probably the only thing that's going to generate a positive outcome.
Yeah, very positive 2 weeks on the international religious liberty front. We have a tragedy that we had in the United States with the killing of the synagogue. I mean, just horrific. And then we've got the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson and the release now of Asia Bibi. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Do that at aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, I want to play for you a comment, an intervention at the United Nations that our European Center for Law and Justice did on this issue of Asia Bibi. But I want Than to set it up, what it's like in that room in the Human Rights Council, the General Assembly, when we make these.
Well, first of all, Jay, when you enter that room, there's a predisposition before you ever arrive that these types of laws, blasphemy laws, other anti-conversion laws, are the rights of sovereign nations. So we go in and we make a presentation talking about how it violates the fundamental rights of the individual being charged. And Jay, it's going to be surreal to people who are hearing this, but in that chamber, in that chamber, it's not welcome. I mean, that is not the default view of most of the nations that are represented. So it's really a hostile reception in many ways, but the sound that you're hearing, Jay, people are about to hear, it's the argument that we have made consistently over the course of a decade, and in this case, I would tell you that it's starting to make a difference.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is the ACLJ and our European affiliate at work at the United Nations, representing Asia Bibi, but representing all of us concerned about these issues. Take a listen to Christoph.
One prominent case is that of Asia Bibi, a Christian mother of five who was convicted of blasphemy for offering her co-workers water from her cup. The co-workers told Asia that she had made the cup ceremonially unclean by drinking from it. They ordered her to convert to Islam, but Asia refused and expressed her faith in Jesus Christ. She was charged with blasphemy, convicted, and sentenced to death. She has been in prison for the last 9 years, waiting for the Supreme Court of Pakistan to hear her appeal. Therefore, we urge this council to investigate cases of blasphemy and extrajudicial killings and to require Pakistan to repeal or amend its blasphemy laws.
There you have it. And this is the first step in that process. And Harry, your view of the opinion itself?
Well, my view is that the opinion is detailed, it's substantive, it goes to the heart of the issue. And one of the shortcomings of the lower court decision was the failure to deal with the actual facts on the ground. There is no sustainable evidence suggesting that Asia Bibi actually engaged in blasphemy. And so the charge, in my opinion, was baseless. The Supreme Court of Pakistan saw that, and they have absolved her of any culpability in this case. And certainly we look forward to evidence that she has been safely released and returned to her family. Much was at stake in this particular case. Mobilizing the Christian community and the international community, yep, was very, very helpful.
This is where our work overseas makes a huge difference, and it's domestic as well. I mean, all the way around. All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, and if you want to talk to us on the air, it's 1-800-684-3110. We have another segment coming up. That's 1-800-684-3110 as we celebrate this tremendous victory for Sia Bibi and her family and for all Christians, really, as she is acquitted for this blasphemy charge, which carried a sentence of death by hanging. That's what she was appealing to the Supreme Court of Pakistan, and she was acquitted in the early today in Pakistan. Early hours, we found out about it last night here in the United States. Tim is calling in from California on line 5. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for all the work you're doing. Pastor Brunson with the Sia Bibi, a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I was wondering, as far as our present administration, what impact do you think President Trump, Nikki Haley, being our U.N. ambassador, made with the decision of the Pakistani Supreme Court?
I think a lot. I mean, I'll defer here to Than for a moment, but let me just say a couple of things. Number one, I think the president's policy on this is, you're an ally of ours, you got to act like it. I mean, remember what Nikki Haley said? I mean, I don't know if we can find that soundbite. Maybe we can. I mean, she said basically, if you don't act like it, it was in another context, but I think it was very relevant here. You don't act like an ally, guess what? You don't get our money. And Pakistan is an important ally of the United States, a $1 billion relationship, multi-billion dollar relationship. But I think the president's, look, this is another woman's life who's been saved. And I think the international outcry here made a huge difference, and so did the president's policies and the administration's, and again, Nikki Haley as well. What do you think on that, Dan?
Jay, it made all the difference in the world, and I would boil it down to this. It's consistency across the foreign policy. So you had Nikki Haley go to the United Nations and say, you actually have to support the initiatives of the United States, and you have to be our ally if you want our money. And then they followed through the UN accounts. But Jay, they also did it directly from the dollars that the United States sends to countries. I mean, Pakistan has averaged $2 billion a year over the last decade. There has been a significant drawdown on each of the last 2 years because Pakistan hasn't been meeting all its obligations, as well as the $300 million that is on hold on security assistance. But again, Jay, we've talked about this a lot. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Yeah. The United States wants that partnership with Pakistan, but the difference in the Trump administration, they have engaged strategically, and when an ally has not operated as they should, there's been a price to pay, and it's been a consistent theme across their entire foreign policy.
Here's what Nikki Haley had to say. It was involving the context of Iran and some of these other regimes, but this is a message for the rest of the world.
We are no longer going to give money to people who are against the U.S. or say death to America or do anything that would be anti-U.S. Well, we are now going to strategically start to work with our friends, and we are no longer going to be handouts for those that go against us.
What is the sentiment in Shahriar? What is the sense of what you're picking up from our colleagues in Pakistan right now about the impact of this decision?
Well, the impact is huge. I mean, it's throughout the country, from Karachi to Islamabad to Peshawar. It's the riots are going on. There are protests. The highways are shut down. In fact, the government had to actually provide rangers, a paramilitary force, around the Supreme Court and parts of the city. They had to put snipers in places. So the impact is just huge, and the boldness of this decision kind of shows itself.
I am holding in my hand. I don't know if you could see it very well on TV. Try to get, and this, you'll see some of it is in Arabic. This is it. I mean, this is the decision of the Supreme Court of Pakistan, which results in the Sia Bibi found not guilty and her conviction reversed. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yeah, William's calling in Georgia on line one. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, William.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Jordan. First of all, giving God the glory for what he's done in this situation with Andrew Brunson and Sia Bibi.
Yep.
And it just proved to show that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous do avail as much, and why we cannot give up on prayer.
You're not kidding.
He promised that the warfare was going to be imminent, but he said that even in the midst of warfare, that we still had the victory. So we can't be intimidated by the warfare that comes our way, and that music comes before the breakthrough.
Well, you're right, William. And we thank all the administration, we thank the international partners on this, and a number of other organizations. A lot of organizations weighed in on this. Ultimately, we thank God for the release here. Nancy on Facebook just wrote, "Are there fears for the rest of the Christian community being retaliated against in Pakistan? Shahriar, is that a fear that we have to be concerned, something we have to be concerned with right now?"
That's absolutely correct. In the past, even one allegation of blasphemy had led to mob violence against entire Christian communities. People's homes have been burned down. People have been killed. So even before the decision was announced, weeks before that, after the appeal was heard, the Christian community was concerned that if Asia Bibi is acquitted, there will be repercussions against the entire Christian community. That's a very big possibility. So hopefully the government will take some action and stop these mobs to carry out any attacks against Christians.
What's your sense of that, Jordan?
Obviously, it elevates other Christian targets. Sia Bibi's in this secure location, may already be outside of the country on her way to join her family. So it elevates. There are churches, there's Christian communities in Pakistan. Yep. That are that you can point to as an extremist and say, okay, there's where we target. That's where the extremists would target to. And so, again, there's kind of twofold, I think, outrage. There's an outrage amongst with extremist Muslims against other Muslims.
Yes,
inside the government,
Muslims inside the country saying, "Well, don't do this."
The Supreme Court justices are Muslim. Yeah. I mean, you know, the right. Government there. They're not Christians in the government. So that is the one hand. But on the second, it is the weaker community, the Christian community, who could face the wrath of these mobs, who has in the past faced the wrath of these mobs. So as Shehriyar said, it is really up to the Pakistani government, nationally, local governments as well, to protect Christian communities from these mobs while this is still firing up people in the streets.
Yeah, you know, we had filed multiple appearances at the UN, and then we also moved legislation forward. We dealt with the blasphemy laws at the UN. There was a lot at play here.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the end of the sound you played about that Christoph presenting at the United Nations, the last part of that was him advocating for Pakistan to repeal or reform its blasphemy laws. If you look at S Resolution 109, which Senator Rand Paul put forward, that was the second part of this. The first part of it was that Pakistan release Asia Bibi. The second part really relates to the caller's question. What is the risk of the Christian community still in Pakistan? It's quite great, Jay, because the blasphemy laws still are not where they need to be. Frankly, Jay, that's where the United States voice comes in. They've been very good on this in recent, the last couple of years. And frankly, that's where this fight moves now in Pakistan.
And Harry, a very bold opinion by the Pakistani Supreme Court. We can't underscore that enough.
Absolutely. Particularly in light of the fact that firebrand clerics are stirring up the Pakistani people. The mobs are already on the street, and they are going after the weak and the disenfranchised in Pakistan.
All right, we're going to take your calls. Last segment coming up, 1-800-684-3110. You can talk about a variety of topics, including a Asia Bibi. 1-800-684-3110. We've opened the phone lines for you. We've got a special video coming up, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But again, you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Help us land the very positive end of this month. If you go to ACLJ.org and support our work, we really appreciate it, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Cheryl on Facebook writes, many minority groups have fled Pakistan out of fear of these laws. Shahriar, that is the case, correct?
That is correct. Many, many people, including Christians, Ahmadis, and other people who are persecuted in Pakistan have left Pakistan.
Terry on Facebook asked a question that I know it's on a lot of people's mind, and that is this. I think the blasphemy laws, as what Terry said, should be outlawed across the globe. They only protect one specific class. And Than, from our experience, I'll go to Than and Jordan on this, our experience at the UN, that's exactly the case.
Yeah, dramatic problems in many countries because of this, Jay, because, again, a lot of times the facts don't have to support the claim, including in this case where you're just simply sharing a drink of water, and that amounts to blasphemy, Jay. But I would tell you, I mean, at the United Nations, we faced a significant efforts to essentially codify an international law, blasphemy laws. It was called Defamations of Religions. It was a multi-year effort for us, pushed forward by the Organization for the Islamic Cooperation. So I would say there's sort of two prongs to this. There's the sovereign laws like the ones that exist in Pakistan that are causing problems. Then there's the larger sort of global international effort inside the United Nations to codify those. And we're going to have to, it's going to be a multi-decade fight for us going forward, I believe.
And it comes out of the Islamic world to say you cannot defame our religion. And in a sense, by doing so, you can defame everyone else's religion because they're not being protected by that. So, and I think actually the court noted that today, is that in this situation, if the facts were even true, and they were attacking a Siabibi's faith, that would be blasphemy in a general sense, not in just the Islamic sense. That is not what the Islamic world wants. They want to see blasphemy protections only for Islam, and then they are free to criticize other religions and say that they are the only right religion and the only correct religion to follow. And that is how the defamation of religion, we were so concerned about at the UN, yeah. It would go to the extent that if you were to say that Christianity was the only path to heaven, yep, as many Christians believe, that would be a defamation of Islam. That alone, that statement. So they, yep, could go around the world under the auspices of the UN criminalizing speech that way. And so that has not yet occurred. We've been able to push back on that. But it has been a main focus of the united Islamic world. And they are not often united. But when they are, this is one of the issues they are united on, is trying to get these laws, yep, codified at an international level.
Marietta on Facebook said, I'm praying for the ACLJ team in Pakistan. Well, let me tell you, it's not just the ACLJ team. It's our team in Pakistan. It's our European Center for Law and Justice. I'm going to take you right back to the UN. 2017. Again, Christoph from our office in Strasbourg, France, intervening on behalf of Asia Bibi.
Asia Bibi, a Christian mother of five, has been in prison for almost 8 years. The ACLJ urges the UN to remind Pakistan that it is required to protect its religious minorities and protect their fundamental rights. Pakistan must bring the perpetrators of violence to justice and provide a safe environment to its religious minorities.
I think the progress, though, Harry, has been very significant. I mean, I'm looking at the opinion of the Pakistani Supreme Court. This is in the Supreme Court of Pakistan. For them to issue an opinion like this, Shahriar said it. I'm saying it. It's hard to understand this in the United States. This was very bold and very dangerous for these justices, but a very bold move and a really big step in the right direction.
Jay, you're precisely correct. This was a brave move by the Pakistani Supreme Court. But more work, I think, is needed in many of these countries. We need to reform blasphemy laws themselves.
Yep.
But this was a great first step. We should continue to build on this. We should strengthen our relationship with the Pakistani government going forward. But we should also be vigilant with respect to opposing these laws in the future.
Janelle on Facebook wrote, imagine spending 9 years on death row for offering a co-worker a drink of water. And Shahriar, that's exactly what happened here.
Exactly. She has lost 9 years of her life. Her kids have grown up, and it's unimaginable that a person would have to go through that kind of persecution for just offering water.
Yep.
John is calling from Washington State on line one. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, John.
Hi. This is a quote, I think, Jay, that you made. Maybe it's a Bible verse. I just don't know. But you said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And yep. I think that says it all.
Well, it does. That is right out of the scriptures. And I think that's exactly what you saw. And as we said, the boldness of this Pakistani Supreme Court, these judges, justices, is really nothing short of incredible. Vicky, talking about that, says on Facebook, amazing feeling to have prayers like this answered. And you look at the situation with Andrew Brunson just 2 weeks ago, and then Asiya Bibi to happen two weeks later is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you know, in different facts, but again, similar issues of Christians being persecuted, being imprisoned officially by governments for their faith, for their religion, and ultimately being freed by court systems within those governments who have said that their imprisonments were wrong and unlawful and incorrect. And that is so important that we're seeing that here.
You know, there's an interesting tie-in, because what happened in Turkey with Brunson, remember, in that last hearing, the witnesses started recanting their testimony and saying, well, they were misunderstood, that Brunson was not engaged in any of these activities that were alleged. And then in the Pakistani Supreme Court, the justices go out of their way to say, hey, look, false charges of blasphemy, in other words, the facts as you've alleged them, false charges of blasphemy also violate our laws in Pakistan, Harry.
Absolutely. So one of the things that is really important about this particular decision was the decision by the justices to actually examine the facts. There was no coherent basis for the charge in the first place. And so the judgment reversing the conviction by the Pakistan Supreme Court was required by a clear factual understanding of the case. And so the rule of law ultimately prevailed, but it took 9 long years to get to that particular point.
And Than, where do you see the issue of religious freedom as far as the interests in the House and the Senate? International religious freedom.
Yeah, absolutely, as high as can be. And it, honestly, Jay, it's because of cases like this where you see a tangible result. And look, I would just tie some of the last two comments together. Certainly, it starts with the prayers of the faithful. But Jay, how many times have you and I talked about the fact that then God gives us a job to do? We got to take the truth of these issues to the halls of power, whether it's the United States Congress or the United Nations. That's really what we exist to do. But Jay, the thing that allows us to do that and the thing that facilitates our voice are those 800,000 people that signed their name on that petition for Asiya Bibi. It allows us to go forward on the prayers of the faithful, but then speak truth to power. And in this case, Jay, fortunately, by the grace of God, we have a mother who's been freed as a result.
Here it is. This was the petition that was up on ACLJ.org and on the European Center and on their Be Heard project, and 821,000 signatures to that petition. This makes a big difference in these cases.
It keeps it in the news. It keeps people talking. I mean, this was one, again, it took 9 years to see justice. So working on it specifically on the petition side for over 4 years, letting people know about it 7 years ago. I mean, this is one where it just proves if you keep it in the news, you can see a good outcome if you don't just shrug your shoulders and say, okay, we have to move on. We never moved on from Asiya Bibi's case. The world did not move on, and justice was ultimately done.
Diana on Facebook said, what we've seen in the last few weeks on these kind of cases, as international cases, God answering the prayers of his people. The call to prayer is growing stronger every day. We need to do that. And while we're praying, let's pray for those that are suffering, not just overseas, but right there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Let's not forget that either. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We got a lot more we'll be talking about tomorrow. But again, a great victory for CBB and her family. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.